Bible, turn with me, please, to Psalms chapter 8. If you didn't bring your Bible, you're welcome to take one of those black pew Bibles in front of you there. Turn to page 487. You can follow along with me this morning. I want to talk about prayer. That's our theme for this whole year. I mentioned something this last week to a friend of mine. I says, I've kind of dedicated this whole year to preaching on prayer. Now, there's going to be times when I take a break. On Mother's Day, I'll preach on mothers, but there's different things. But I want to focus in on prayer. And he says, you know, people are going to get tired of that. And I thought, you know, tired of hearing and praying. Wow, that's probably not a good thing. So I hope that instead of getting tired, we just get excited every week about the possibility of prayer and what God can do when God's people come together and unite together in prayer. So this morning I want us to look, we're going to start off with Psalms chapter 8. This is a great prayer. If you have trouble praying and you just don't know what to say, sometimes we just turn to God's Word, and I believe that God's Word can be our prayer. And so here in Psalms chapter 8, we find a great example of that. It starts off like this. If you use the Pew Bible, it uses the word Yahweh. Yahweh, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. You have covered the heavens with your majesty. Because of your adversaries, you have established a stronghold from the mouths of children and nursing infants to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I observe your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you set in place, what is man that you remember him? The son of man that you look after him? You made him a little less than God. You crowned him with glory and honor. You made him Lord over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all the sheep and the oxen, as well as animals in the wild, the birds of the sky, the fish of the sea that pass through the currents of the sea. Yahweh, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the whole earth. What a prayer. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to come together this morning to pray in this house of prayer, to fellowship with people of prayer, and Lord, to talk to you, our God of prayer. So Lord, we ask your blessings upon the reading of your word, the words I'm about to share. Lord, may we be challenged, may we gain insight, and may we be conformed into your image. So please bless us now, and may your will be done. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Next month, the month of May, which is actually next week, on May the 20th, Franklin Graham is coming to Escondido. Now, we have a schedule out there in the foyer, if you look on the bulletin board, and it looks like he's going to just travel all the way up California and all the way up into Washington and Oregon. But May the 20th, he's going to be here. So I was reading a little bit about where he's coming to. I don't know anything about Escondido, some park up there. But anyway, Franklin made a statement. He said, prayer is the most powerful resource we have in life. It unleashes the spiritual dynamite that obliterates darkness and despair. Completely done away with it. And so in a time when your life is filled with despair, when you feel like you're in the dark, you don't know what to do, you don't know what's going to happen, you're totally out of control, the first, foremost, most important thing to do is to pray, praying to God. The problem is sometimes we just don't know how to pray. And so this morning I want to try to give you a little lesson. I've taught before on Wednesday night on how to pray. If you have your bulletin, if you want to turn it over, you can see on the backside where I'm heading and maybe you want to keep notes. I've tried to encourage people to take notes every week. Keep those notes at the end of the year. Kind of look back over all the things we've said about prayer and then practice it. And so that's what I'm talking about this morning is practicing prayer. How do we do that? And so I want to use the word, an acrostic, the word acts. And so the first one is adoration. And so just Adoration just means to adore, to praise, to worship God. The natural response of a follower of Jesus is to worship Him and to worship God. And so just a natural thing, when we meet Jesus, we fall in love with Jesus, the natural thing to come out of our life is this desire to worship Him. Every morning I get up and I pray for our missionaries all around the world. Yesterday I had three missionaries that were friends of mine, and I prayed for them. But every morning I pray for missionaries, and then I move on. I pray for all of our church members here by name, that God would bless you guys. And then I have a list of some of our neighbors. I won't mention who they are, but people in our neighborhood that don't know Jesus. And I just pray that they might have a radical encounter with a living God. And when they do, the natural response of them is going to come back and to worship God. You see, when we worship, it all begins and ends with who God is, the creator of the universe. Now, one of the aspects of worship is adoring God for who He is. We recognize that God, not for what He does so much, but who He is. He is the Almighty God, the creator of the universe. He is the sovereign Lord. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He is everything. And we want to worship Him because of who He is and how He has what He's revealed about Himself. Part of that adoration is putting us, the creation, in a proper position with God the Creator, recognizing it's all about Him. And so I look into Psalms chapter 8 here, verse 1 and then verse 9. Both of them have this awesome thing about stating who God is. How magnificent is your name. How magnificent is your name. And it uses the name Yahweh. We have a little thing over here. You look on the bottom of it. It says YHWH, Yahweh. It's a Hebrew word. Let's turn in our Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Now, if you're using the Pew Bible, we're going to turn to page 50. Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. You recall the story of Exodus, how Moses was born. He was raised by the Pharaoh's sister, and then he got exiled, and he's out there taking care of the sheep. He sees a bush that's burning but not being consumed, goes over to see it, and God starts speaking to him. And in verse 14, it says, God replied to Moses. Now, Moses is told to go set my people free, and Moses responds by saying, well, who am I going to say sent me? You know, I don't even know you. And God replied to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the Israelites, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how I am to be remembered in every generation. The name Yahweh. Now, the word Yahweh comes from a Hebrew word. It's a verb, to be, and we translate it, I am. Ken Hemphill, he was president of Southwestern Seminary for a while, said that it's tied to the idea of life itself. To be is to live. To be, at its very essence, is to have life. Thus, the name Yahweh implies that God is absolutely self-existent. He is the one who in Himself possesses life and permanent existence. He alone. It's all about Him. He doesn't need anybody. He doesn't need anything. He's self-existent. We are in need constantly of everything, but God doesn't, that name Yahweh. Well, let's go back to the book of Psalms. We want to go to Psalms chapter 68. Psalm 68, it's going to be on page 523. Psalm 68, verse 4. Sing to God, sing praises to His name. Exalt Him who rides on the clouds. His name is Yahweh, and rejoice before Him. And so we come to pray, we address God. We can address Him as Jesus taught us, our Father which art in heaven. There's other words that we can use. We can address God as Yahweh. I am that I am. Yahweh. Let's go to one more verse here. Go to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. And again, if you're using the Pew Bible, it's on page 660. Isaiah 42, verse 8. I am Yahweh. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. It's all about Him. And so when we're learning how to pray, when we're practicing prayer, it's important to address God as who He is. And so I think we can learn in adoration to lift up the name of God, the name of Jesus, the name Yahweh, as we approach Him in adoration, praising Him and worshiping Him because of who He is and how He has revealed Himself to us, that we can know Him in a very personal way. The second thing, as we learn and practice prayer, the second part of our prayer is confession. If we're using the word acts, A-C-T-S, confession is the second part. And it seems to me that the closer that we get to God, the more we realize how sinful we are. There are people that intimidate me. Some of you know a guy by the name of Tim Hulbert. Tim used to come to our church, and when I'm riding in the car with Tim, he will not break the speed limit. He's picky. If it says 65, he's not going to go 66, just picky. Every once in a while, Tim rides with me. He's got this huge neck, and he... Pastor, what are you doing? It just kind of, when I'm in His presence, I just realize that I'm not much of a law-abiding citizen. Now, is that a sin? We're not going to go there. But anyway, the closer we draw to God, the more we realize how sinful and ungodly we are. Some of my favorite scriptures are found in the book of Isaiah, and we're there right now. We were. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5, page 626. Isaiah chapter 6. You recall Isaiah, I love quoting it. It's such a beautiful thing. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And oh, I just pray that America will see the Lord. I pray for California that we will see the Lord in a time of liberalism, when our Senate is trying to pass laws so we can't sell Christian literature, and you know, whatever is happening, I have no idea. I just pray that we might see the Lord. I like that verse 1. I saw the Lord. He was seated high on a lofty throne. His glory filled the whole temple. But look down at verse 5. As Isaiah sees God and recognizes, going back to verse 3, holy, 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 how holy God is. And what is Isaiah's response? He says, wow, woe is me. I am ruined because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among people with unclean lips, and because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I just think there's some reality there that when the closer we get to God and when we recognize His holiness, His awesome love that He has, and awesome power that He's exhibited in His creation, the more I realize, wow, what an unclean person I am, how sinful I am. Whether it's breaking the speed limit, which is, or whatever it might be, we want to just draw closer to God. That confession is so important. Wednesday nights we have prayer meeting here, and we're going through the book of Acts in prayer meeting. And so let's turn to Acts chapter 2. You'll recognize these verses. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38. It's Pentecost. We sang the song this morning about the Pentecostal power. The Holy Spirit came down upon the church. Things began to happen. You recall back a little bit of history, how people had come up to Peter, the apostle, and says, hey, you were a follower of Jesus. And he says, no, I wasn't. I don't even know the man. Three times he denied the Lord. And we use that as an illustration sometimes. But now that here it is, some 40, 50 days later, And the Holy Spirit's descended upon him, and Peter gets up and starts to preach to the people. And when the people hear what Peter has to say about who Jesus is and what he did and what we did to him, their response to the people is, "What must I do to be saved?" Look at verses 37 and 38. When they heard this, they came under deep conviction. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what must we do?" And the answer came back, "Repent." Peter said to them, "And be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so this word repent, we know the word literally means to turn around and go the other direction. And so there comes a time in our life when we recognize, I'm doing everything my way. The world revolves around me. I'm doing everything that I want to do. And when we repent, we turn from me and we turn to God, and I want to do it His way. So part of our confession is repentance. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, John is the apostle of Jesus, and he writes this book, and he says to them, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, will forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness." And so our job is to confess it. So when we confess, it means that we are admitting, "God, I'm a sinner." And part of that confession is repentance, that I'm going to turn away and do it His way. And part of that repentance is a commitment, "God, I want to follow You." And so as we confess our sins, we're admitting that we're sinning, we're not going to do it anymore, and we make that commitment to God to follow Him. Confession, learning how to pray, practicing prayer, so important in our life. So whether we are adoring God and worshiping Him, lifting up His holy name, singing praises to Him, or whatever it might be, worshiping Him because our heart has been changed, coming to the point that we're in God's presence, we recognize how sinful we are, from the littlest sin to the biggest sin, confessing it before the Father, repenting of that, and committing, it leads us to the next thing, and that is a thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. We have so much to be thankful for. I tell people, I believe on a daily basis, "Hey, I'm from Arizona. I believe I have died and gone to heaven prematurely. I love San Diego. I love the ocean. I love the weather. I love it here." And so when we come before God and we've recognized our sinful condition, we've confessed that, and God has forgiven us and cleansed us of all that, we turn to thanksgiving. There's something that just can't keep us quiet. I'm so thankful. Now, I've been in the ministry since 1971, so 47 years I've been in the ministry. And I've been in big churches, small churches. I've been in a lot of church fights. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Baptists like to fight. And so I've been in all of that. But I just thank God daily that God has called me to pastor this church. 18 years, and you guys haven't ran me off. You've put up with me. You've loved me. I've loved you. And God is so good. I just thank God. There's so much we had to be thankful for. As we come together to worship Him, as we think about where we live, as we think about having a job, having an income. We do a lot of work with homeless people. I go downtown, I see people living in the tents, and I see people out there on the street corners with signs, and I'm just saying, "God, You have been so good to us. I have so much to be thankful for." As we give thanks, it acknowledges the fact that God is our provider and that He has taken care of us. By giving thanks for what we have, it prevents us from focusing and turning from what we have to what we don't have. You know, all of us, we kind of have that goal every once in a while, don't we? We want, look at all, how come they have that and I don't have that? And when we're thankful for what we have, it keeps us from comparing and being grudging. You see, part of the devil's tactic upon Christians is to get us greedy and discouraged, to get us distracted from being thankful. Let's thank God for what we have, not what we don't have. Well, let's look up some scriptures on that, see what it says. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. And the Pew Bible is going to be on page 1079. Ephesians 5:20. I love these 19 through 21 are some of my favorite verses. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music from the heart of the Lord. I love it. People come up with me and they say something. Often I break out in a song. We're playing dominoes. Some of us older people get together and play dominoes once a month. And so someone used a word while we were playing dominoes. The whole 2 hours we play dominoes, we're singing. Some of them Christian songs, some of them songs we grew up with. I like this. Speak to one another with songs. But verse 20, giving thanks for everything to God, for the Father, in the name of our Lord. Giving thanks for everything. Now the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And I tell people, listen, it doesn't say that everything that's going to happen in your life is good, but it's going to work out for good. Now let's think back for just a moment, an hour ago. An hour ago, the sound people back there played this video. It's called Even If. And it says that, I believe, God, that you can save us from the mighty, I don't know the words, but from the fire or whatever. But even if you don't, my hope is in you alone. And so, knowing where our hope is, we can thank God for everything. Because somehow, some way, as we put our hope in Him, it's going to work out for God's glory, for His praise. It's going to work out for the good. Now, we have a hard time with that. Sometimes we don't want to thank God for a flat tire in a busy rush hour traffic. But sometimes that flat tire leads to a witnessing encounter. And so we can turn all this into a time of thanksgiving for Him. We're in Ephesians. Let's go over a couple more books to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Again, it's going to be page 1085. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through Him. So whatever we do, I like people ask, what's your favorite verse? And for years I've said my favorite verse is 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat, I love that one, or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And here he says, hey, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord, and give thanks to God. We have so much to be thankful for. Thankful for clothing that we have in abundance. You look in our closets. Most of us have a closet full of clothes. Well, they may not fit us because we like to eat so much, but still, God has been so good to us, giving thanks to the Lord. One more verse. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Now, if you're using the Pew Bible, it's on page 1088. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Verses 16 through 20 are just some awesome things. As he says, rejoice always, pray constantly. But verse 18 says, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. And so what does that mean? Well, it means that we're not supposed to be complaining, moaning, grumbling. We're to give thanks for everything. What is God's will? And you know, quite often as a pastor for 47 years, people, well, what is God's will for me? God's will for you is to be thankful for what He's given to you and what He's called you to do and what He's going to do through you, to give thanks. This is the will of God. And so I just want to say that when we're learning how to pray, when we're practicing prayer, I believe it starts off with adoration. It starts off with worshiping God, recognizing who He is, And then it turns, when I recognize, wow, he is this awesome, holy God, it turns into a time of confession because I realize how sinful I am in my life. And I dwell with people who are just as sinful as I am. And then once I recognize that sin and I confess it to the Father and I realize, wow, the burden has been lifted and I'm forgiven of all my sins, I'm cleansed of all unrighteousness, then it turns naturally into a time of thanksgiving and rejoicing. We might call it a party time. Just thanking God for all that he's done. How can we sit still when God has done so much for us? We just want to celebrate and thank him. But then sometimes, as we think about all of that, then the last one I want to share with you in the acrostic Acts is the word supplication. Supplication. It's simply bringing our request to God. Now, why do I want to bring my request to God? Well, because number one for me in my life is I want to declare my total dependence upon him. There's not a thing I can do without God. Everything comes back to him. And so in our supplication, we're just asking God for our needs and what we need. If we work through adoration, confession, and thanksgiving, these three stages of prayer, if we work through that, then our supplication will not turn to a I want list, but it turns into a God, what do you want list. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. If you're using the Pew Bible, it's on page 891. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. You'll recognize this. Jesus is talking there. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. He says, keep asking. I think King James just used the word ask and it shall be given. But it's in a present tense in the Greek. And so as we ask, we're actually keep on asking and it'll be given to you. Keep on searching and you'll find. Keep knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who searches finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. And so Jesus tells us there in our prayer to keep on asking. I've been praying for years that God would revive his people, that there'd be a great revival in the church. I've been praying that God would send a great awakening, that billions of people around the world would come to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Have I seen it? No. Am I going to give up on that prayer? No. Will I see it? I hope so, because I'm going to keep on asking. I was having my prayer time this morning. Yesterday in my prayer time, I just stopped. Sometimes my mind begins to kind of wander. And I was praying, God, please revive your church and send or cause a great awakening. And in my mind just said, I wonder how often God gets bored with my prayers because I keep praying the same thing over and over. This verse tells me, keep on. Don't give up. To keep on asking. I don't know what you pray for, but I hope and pray that you'll pray for great things to happen in the name of Jesus Christ for his glory and for his praise. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. In your Pew Bible, it's on page 1082. Philippians 4, 6. It says, don't worry about anything. But we're a bunch of worry warts, aren't we? Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What a great verse on prayer. It talks about the supplication, talks about the thanksgiving, and it talks about prayer. It's just all about Jesus. One more verse. James chapter 5, verse 3. Or James chapter 4, excuse me. James 4, 3. It's going to be on page 1111. James 4, verse 3. It says, you do ask. Some of us are asking for a lot of things, aren't we? Our wander is full. You ask and you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it all on your evil desires. You know, there's been times I prayed, God, get them. I like to see vengeance. God says, vengeance is mine. I said, well, I want to see it. You know, sometimes our hearts get hard, we get angry, we pray for things. But here we find we're supposed to be praying for God's will to be done in our lives. Praying with the right motives for God to be honored and glorified. Practicing prayer. We can't get away from it. God wants this to be a house of prayer in this community. People drive by, they see it. I just pray that they might see this as a house of prayer because they know that the people here are a people of prayer. Practicing prayer. Starting off with adoration as we worship God. Going on to confession as we confess our sins and repent of them. Going on to a time of thanksgiving where we're so thankful for all of God's provisions. And ending up with supplication. God, please use us as an instrument to bring your kingdom to come and your will to be done. May it be so now. Would you pray with me, please? Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the privilege, the responsibility of prayer, talking to you, to lift up your holy name to Yahweh. May your name be magnified and glorified to the ends of the earth. May people bow down and worship. We know that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. May that begin right now in our hearts and in our lives, in our church, in our community. May it be so right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.